Give me a W.
W.
Give me a G.
G.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a... No, wait, that's basically WGBB Freeport. That's a...
Isn't it time for Dave's Gone By?
Yeah, right now.
There goes the Daverhood.
We got David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everyone, on this Sunday night, February 15th, 2009, to the 304th edition. That's right, we've done 303 previous thingies of this. Of Dave's Gone By, coming to you from Babylon, Long Island. Good to be back home, although we had a surprisingly nice trip to about as far-flung a place in America as you can get. Well, in contiguous America. I guess Alaska won't really count in this. But spent a couple of days in North Dakota this week, because only someone like me would pick the middle of February as a time to go to a place like North Dakota. But, I mean, we had to go there for a reason. I went there with my wife and met some cool people, had some interesting times, had some snowy and cold and slushy times, and also some fun stuff. So I want to spend some of this episode of the show talking to you about Fargo, North Dakota. Also, want to have a couple of people weigh in on the big old stimulus package, because that is all anybody seems to be talking about, at least on TV. People I know aren't really, you know, they can't follow it, they don't know, they just know their money's being taken out of their pockets. But if you watch all the TV channels, that's all anybody's talking about, so we might as well talk about it on this radio station. So I have three different people giving their very different views about the whole economic bailout and stimulus package tonight on Dave's Gone By. I think you'll quite enjoy that. And as we do almost every program, we have the Inside Broadway segment, where we tell you what's going on the stages of New York, on and off Broadway, all the big news, what shows are coming in and what stars are coming in. And then also do some theater reviews to let you know what's worth seeing out there. And tonight, reviewing a couple of shows, including Leia's Train. It's a new drama about Jewish people played by Asian actors. Interesting. Also, Lansky, featuring a guest on this program, Mike Burstyn. He's playing the gangster Meyer Lansky in a one-man show. And also, I went back to see Speed the Plow because, this is also big news a couple of weeks ago when the original star, Jeremy Piven, became rather mercurial. I think we all remember this, where he ate a little too much sushi and got what he said was mercury poisoning, what other people said was just sheer boredom and unprofessionalism, and bailed on the program. He did his own kind of bailout, and they ran scampering about for another actor to come in and do the show, and ultimately they found Bill Macy, an old hand at David Mamet, not the Bill Macy of the TV series Maud, but the Bill Macy of the movie, come to think of it, Fargo. Wow, I just made that connection right this second, and I'm so happy I did. See, it all ties in. And also, I want to talk a little bit about a show that I do live on stage every Saturday night at 6 at the Times Square Arts Center, 669 8th Avenue in Manhattan. We've been doing it for 2 months now, and it's really taking off. It's like so many things that I do tend to stay kind of smallish and not so much disappointing, but I always hope that they'll go a little further than they do, you know, hence 300 episodes of this show at this bloody radio station. But this little thing that we're doing right in the heart of Manhattan, we're growing audiences, where people are talking about it on the web, there's possibly things afoot, and they've got, you know, TV cameras there. Kind of neat. It's called StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live, and I'm having a blast. It's just a cabaret talk show, trying to be a mix of the things that Dick Cavett and Steve Allen used to do, but also a little more like your basic
off an off-Broadway little stage review with stand-up comedians and musicians and magicians and Broadway people. It's been a whole heck of a lot of fun, and I've had a wonderful time doing it. And last night was probably one of our best shows, if not our best, to date. I always hate to say that because it jinxes the next one, because you always have to top it. But it was a little sad in the sense that we lost our technical director. Nothing too tragic. He's moving to Kansas, which I guess is tragic enough. So it was kind of sad to say goodbye to Edmund, because he was with us from the beginning. But taking over in his enormous shoes to fill is also a very, very terrific young woman who has been with the show from the beginning. Her name is Jessica, and she happens to be on the phone. She called in, and I wanted to get her on the show for just a couple of minutes to talk to us. Jessica, are you there?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing? How was your Valentine's Day?
It was pretty good. As you know, I was at the taping last night along with you for StageBuddy.com Weekly Night Live. And after the show, we went out to Smith's Bar and Restaurant on 45th and 8th Avenue, you know, to give Edmund like a little, like, you know, send off, because I think he's going back to Kansas on Tuesday.
And, you know,
so
wow,
last night was his last show.
Yeah. And he's going back to school, which I heartily support, basically because he can't get a full-time paying job in New York, which I heartily understand, believe me. So how did you feel? You were kind of stepping into the shoes yesterday. I guess they were showing you the ropes.
He was showing me the ropes, and I did a pretty good job.
If you do say so yourself.
Yes, if I do say so myself. I have a similar job at a local public access station in New Jersey.
Oh.
I've done a few technical directing jobs on a few of the programs there. But it's a little different because this is live, and we're trying to get the episodes out on the net as soon as possible. So.
Well, we've done 8 so far, and that we haven't quite gotten one fully cut on the web. But that's coming. That's coming in a week or two, I think.
Yeah.
They're really promising.
Yeah, we'll be working on that during the middle of the week. I think there's some clips from episode 1 I'm watching on the website right now, which is StageBuddy.com/live.
StageBuddy.com/live. The trailer is up there. It's been up there for a week or so, which is great, and it's really well done, and I credit Evan, the producer, on that. But have they actually put up clips now? I didn't see that today. I'm so thrilled.
Maybe it is just the trailer. I'm on my home computer right now, and the connection isn't as fast as I would like it to be, so this just might be the trailer, actually. You might be right about that.
But really, literally, within a week, they'll get a show or two up so people can see, you know, where's that. What else? First of all, what does a technical director do?
Basically, it's the person that cues the cameras.
Oh.
We have a three-camera setup. At the Times Square Arts Center, which is where we tape the show.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's four cameras. We have one propped up, giving us like an above the audience.
Oh, cool. It's like an odd cam. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually four cameras, but I'm on the machine, the switcher, which all the cameras are hooked up to. So let's say if... as we start the shot, I would go with the wide shot, which is camera B, which is usually the steady shot, which shows, you know, the entire stage, you, Vicky, the guest.
Vicky is the co-host of the show,
yes.
Vicky Cooperman. She's a comedian,
right.
And books are comedians, yeah.
And then as the show starts and as you or Vicky begin, you know, I would take the shot from either the A or the C camera, whichever one has the better shot. We have a lot of comedians on. We usually have an open comedian every week on the show before the show starts, before the hosts come out. We have a comic come up. So
right.
Every once in a while I'll take like an audience shot, which it looks really good, especially when the comic is on stage. It'll have like an over the shoulder, and you see the audience laughing at the joke. So
hopefully, yes.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, this is. And did you go to school and train for this, or?
No, actually, the skills that I acquired to do this was actually from my time at the public station in New Jersey, which is Soma TV. It's a public access station for Maplewood and South Orange in New Jersey.
Cool.
There and the stuff that I learned from Evan and Edmund on the show.
Well, cool. Well, it's absolutely a pleasure to work with you, and I know it's going to be great and continue to be great. And all I can do is invite people to hear what we're all talking about. It's StageBuddy.com's weekly night live, Saturday nights at 6 at the Times Square Arts Center between 42nd and 43rd Street, right on 8th Avenue in Manhattan. It's only an hour long, so you know it doesn't interfere with your dinner plans or if you have a Saturday night Broadway show, and I think you'll have a great time with it. Go to StageBuddy.com/live to find out more. So Jessica,
and it's free.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's absolutely free, although really we want you to sign up and become a member of StageBuddy.com to get it free. That's really what you're supposed to do because it saves you the $5 cover charge. But for the most part, we've been looking the other way on the cover charge anyway because we want to fill the house. And we have been. So that's been really great that we had such a huge house last week. So thank you, Jessica, for all your help and for coming on and talking to us about the show.
Oh, sure. Is it all right if I stay on to listen in to the entire show? I tried to listen in on my radio here, and it just wouldn't work, and my connection on my computer isn't really all that great.
Oh, okay.
So could I just stay on hold and just
what loyal, thing? You know, you may end up being number three fan, because we've got number one fan Pam, who's like the number one fan of the show, and then my dad is the number two fan. And so you are jockeying just by saying that for number three fan status. Jessica,
wow.
That's really wicked cool. So, yeah, if you're still here within like the next 50, 55 minutes, you may have the crown of number three fan. I'm going to put you on hold, and you should be able to listen to the whole show just like that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Pam. Sorry, Pam. Thanks,
Pam.
Jessica, for calling in.
Oh, thanks, Pam, too, wherever she is.
Hey, Pam. Okay, you're listening to Dave's Gone By. We're still going into the show, and I haven't even done the sponsors yet, so let me thank them so, so much for being part of this show every week. It's Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, been around since the 1970s, owned and operated by the Torong family in Hewlett, Long Island, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners on any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also, this program is brought to you by the Woodrow Delicatessen. Ah, if I tell you the food there, it's kosher, it's delicious, it's fresh. I eat there probably once a week. My family also, you know, my parents have been going there for the past 30 years because they make absolutely delicious delicatessen. Everything from a dozen different kinds of chicken dishes to your basic great meaty sandwiches of salami and tongue and brisket and corned beef. And you got a great hot dog there, Knishes. The Woodrow, it's located at 1342 Peninsula Boulevard, and it's in the Peninsula Shopping Center of Hewlett, Long Island. Go to WoodrowDeli.com for more information. And remember, you got to leave off that second W for wonderful food. It's WoodrowDeli.com. This program is also brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway, and has been the Bible of Broadway since 1944. And it tells you everything you need to know about what is playing in New York. And I know Stage Buddy does that in a different sort of a way that we were talking about. That's kind of, if you're going to the theater that night, you want to know what's playing, what comedians are out there, or, you know, what off-Broadway shows are going on, or what musicians are playing. Performing Arts Insider is really dedicated to the theater, Broadway, off, and cabaret, and giving you all the insight, scoop, and information, the gossip, and if you need to contact the producers or the managers or the agents or the press people handling the shows. It's really an industry publication that the industry has not been able to do without for about 66 years now. Performing Arts Insider. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information and go to DavesGoneBy.org for a really, really great discount for Dave's Gone By listeners on subscriptions to this great journal. And finally, this program is brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons, which is
owned and operated by Jeff Goodman, who is not here tonight. Jeff is wandering around the wilds of Las Vegas, or I think he started in California, he's going to Las Vegas, and then he's going for a couple of weeks to Thailand. So Jeff won't be with us over the next couple of shows, aww, but when he gets back, he would love to do your party planning for you, to do up your balloons and your centerpieces and make your party look really good. So take this number down and call him in a month. It's Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. 797-3229. Okay, I think that does it for our sponsors. Just want to remind you to check davesgoneby.org for more information about this program and to hear bunches of older episodes of the show. I think we have over 200 up there now. davesgoneby.org. Okay. Wow, it's almost 11:30 already, and we've barely even gotten started. So, yeah, we've got talk about Fargo. We've got stuff about the stimulus package. We've got Inside Broadway. All of that coming up for you. Dave's Gone By. Do not go away. Meow! I'm not an ordinary cat. I'm a copycat. I love to make copies. So my favorite place is Hewlett Minuteman Press. For 3 decades, they've been on Broadway in Hewlett, printing booklets, making business cards, designing wedding invitations, and making millions of copies. Meow! How good is Minuteman? Hey, I used to have one life. Now I've got 9. Hewlett Minuteman on Broadway opposite Lohman's. Tell him Toner the Copycat sent you for 10% off.
Hello, this is Hermann Glogauer in a paid political message. In fact, I paid for it. I am 107 years old, and I support Barack Obama's economic stimulus package. The problem is, I can't remember why. Oh, yes, to keep America going. Now, I lived through the hard times. People standing on lines for bread, sleeping on the streets, jumping out of windows. And that was 2003. We don't want those kinds of awful, desperate times again. I remember the 1930s. No, I don't. But if I did remember them, I wouldn't want to live through them again. So, anything the president can do to give the economy a jolt, a little nudge in the ribs, I say more power to him. Now, granted, a lot of this bailout money is going to banks and insurance companies and mortgage brokers who squandered and thieved themselves into insolvency. But that's the American way. Do you think the big corporations got where they are 100 years ago by treating workers fairly and paying reasonable wages? Ha! I say ha! Do you think giant shopping centers and malls sprang up out of pixie dust without any graft or small businesses getting muscled to the curb? Do you think the railroads would be railroads without exploiting the heathen Chinee? Would we even have a Las Vegas without people named Lucky, Bugsy, and Knuckles? Of course not. So, let's not make too much of criminals getting all our money. It was ever thus. And when you get to be my advanced age, and for your sake, I certainly hope you do not, you realize that the only difference between most crooks and the rest of us is that they have the guts to get away with it. In fact, the only difference between politicians and the rest of us is they have the guts to get away with it. And so, let us all give President Barack Obama's stimulus plan a chance to work. Think of it as a Viagra pill for the economy. Hopefully, things will firm up, straighten out, and get the job done. It will be hard. It will be long. It may not come immediately. But if we pull together as one body, we just might reach the finish. This is Hermann Glogauer, and my home health aide approves of this message.
Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off.
Yeah, this is the segment we call Dave Goes Off. Off on, usually it's a rampage or a rant, but sometimes it's just me talking about what I've been doing and my week and stuff like that. And that's definitely what I'm here to talk about today, or tonight, is my trip to Fargo, North Dakota. Why, you may ask, well, did I go to Fargo, North Dakota? Well, has to do with my wife's career and places that she's looking at, and she was talking to some folks at North Dakota State University, which is merrily situated in Fargo, which I've been told is the coldest place in America, depending on, obviously, the date. But it wasn't, amazingly enough, that cold while we were there. It was about 25 to 35 degrees day to day. The sky, of course, was just battleship gray, piles of snow on the ground from a snowstorm about a week earlier. And also, moment to moment, it was either raining, drizzling, or sleeting. And yet, I swear to you, this is true, the guy who drove us back to the airport got in the car and he told us, hey, you know, you are so lucky because you came here and it's like spring. So it kind of gave us an interesting perspective on, you know, first of all, what we here think of as springtime, and also you can look at the same miserable-seeming rotten day and go, oh, what is that? Or someone else can look at it and go, wow, younger than springtime are we? So that was kind of nice. Now, Fargo is not as podunk and hick-ish as it may seem, and it really seems like that when we were flying in. I mean, we look out the plane window, and you know how when you're just below the clouds, but things are still very tiny, you basically see the big tracts of land and blocks rather than people or the cars. And when you go over Chicago or New York, you see tiny lights and buildings and all that. But coming into Fargo, North Dakota, it's just expanses of blank white and the occasional little barn or silo or farmhouse. So, you know, as we're flying in, I'm like, oh my God, what have we gotten into? Everything is going to be 8 miles from each other. But when you have a big old school, and everything congregates around it, and everything grows around it, it isn't, again, quite what you think. There's 700,000 people in the entire state of North Dakota, and 100,000 of them are in Fargo. And one of the cool things that they told us to try to build Fargo up and tell us how great it was that their next-door neighbor is Minnesota. Like, the closest, quote-unquote, big city is the Twin Cities. Minnesota is $5 billion in debt. North Dakota is a $1 billion surplus. Go figure. I guess there aren't enough people in North Dakota to spend any money. That's the only thing I can think of that would explain that. But it's really not cow country. It's agri country. And what's also interesting is it is small townish, but it has its Starbucks and it has its McDonald's and it has its Hardee's. It kind of struck me as funny that the college students are thrilled and excited to go eat at McDonald's because this is new to them from where they come from. If they're really coming from the backwoods, then these big chain things are amazing to them. Meanwhile, I'm the one who wants to go to a place and not see a McDonald's and not see, I can see a Burger King actually, but there are other chain things there, definitely a couple of Starbucks and stuff. And oddly enough, the restaurants, the prices are kind of the same here and there. You can go to a fancy restaurant relatively, and it'll be about the same price and the same quality of food as you're going to get here. But other things are a lot cheaper, and real estate and stuff like that. One of the great things that I love is they had this enormous, it's hard to say what you would call it. It's like a rummage store. It's not an antique place the way we think of it, and it's not a thrift shop. It's bigger than that. It's a city unto itself. And you don't really get those in New York or even on Long Island much. And it's room upon room of things like train sets and jewelry and records and magazines and clocks and old cameras and guns and guitars and lots of Christmas crap, of course, and these beautiful break fronts. And it just made me think, if I had more time if I were doing a different kind of radio program. One thing I would really, really love to do is just go into one of these shops, grab like a stack of their LPs and their 78s, and then just go on the radio for like 4 hours and play different cuts from whatever I grabbed. Because it's always going to be a grab bag. It's going to be like, 1 minute you're playing Mantovani, and then the next it's the Ramones, and then the next after that it's some old singer from 1908 on an RCA Victor label 78. And I think that would just be neat. And then you go back to the thrift shop, and you give back those records, and you pull back another pile, and you have a different show. I don't know. There's probably 8 people in the whole world who would want to listen to that, but I would be one of them listening loyally every week. But the thing is, I mean, it is kind of North Dakota, and there may be a possibility in the future that might even live there or stay there for a while. So just on the off shot, while I was walking down the main Broadway road of Fargo, I stopped into a staffing agency because I figured, hey, I've got my resume on me, and if they need typists for administrative stuff, or certainly if they need a teacher or talent, such as it may be, maybe I can get some work. Let me shake some hands and hand out some resumes and cards. So I go in there, very nice guy. He says, you know, hi, I'm Dave, and blah, blah, blah. We talk for about 30 seconds, and then he says, I say, well, you know, any jobs, and what have you got? And he says, can you weld? And I'm like, no, I probably burn myself very badly. And he's like, well, how about with other kinds of machinery? And I'm like, no, I would burn myself very badly. And it turned out they had absolutely no need or call for any sort of administrative typing, shorthand, office management whatsoever. It was all about real labor there, which okay, it's another reminder that not quite New York. But they do have, and I was excited to hear about this because of what I do, theater there, not just at NDSU, which has a pretty good theater program, but there's an off-Broadway type theater called Theater B, which was, I didn't get to see any theater. That was the one big disappointment, because we were there for about 3 days early in the week, and any theater that they do, be it at the school or locally, tends to be done from Thursday through Sunday. Those are the big theater-going days, as they are in a lot of places. So I really wanted to see something, and they had one show playing in Fargo. And out of principle, I did not go, because this is my luck. Playing at the Fargo Dome, and yes, it is called, and it is, the Fargo Dome. It's for sports, and I guess they also do theater there, too. They had the touring company, or shall we say Non-Equity, I believe, of Cats. I mean, if there could be a more cliche and dreadful thing to be, you know, greeting a person if they're coming from a cosmopolitan city like New York and going to North Dakota and wanting to be impressed by North Dakota, the last thing you want to see playing there is a touring production of Cats. So I have to say I kind of avoided it. But I did see the famous Fargo Theater. That's the sign that you see in all those photographs and things. And unfortunately, it's not a theater. It's more of a movie house, a very nice one. Though they do have concerts and stuff. In fact, the most popular thing that they do there, and apparently they do 8 shows a year and sell out every single one, is an a cappella group called The Blenders. So what can I say? As I keep saying, it's not New York. But it's a sweet little place. And one of the cool things that I did like about Fargo, North Dakota, and that I was told I would like about it, is that you get to know the people rather quickly, and a stranger is only a stranger for the first 10 seconds, and then, boom, you're off and running. I walked into a shop, interesting little shop. I thought it was another thrift store, because they had all these old bicycles in the window from the 1950s and 60s, like stuff you'd see on Happy Days and whatever. So I walked in just to look around. The guy came out, and it wasn't even a bicycle shop or an antique shop. Turned out it was for printing and silk screening of signs, and collecting bicycles was just his hobby. And he put that in the window just for people to comment and get some business. And occasionally, someone would come in and use the bike for a movie, rent it, and give it back. And it's amazing what you tell strangers and what strangers tell you. Within
a 90-minute conversation. And I just stopped in there to browse for about a minute and a half. And I spent 90 minutes talking to this great fellow named Mark. I learned about his near-death medical emergency. I learned about his bike collecting. I learned about his job. I learned that he was president of the local stagehands union and that he was actually going to be helping with the load-in of cats. And the fact that he's also there when Disney on Ice comes and does their thing. And he said Disney people are just the worst because they're all foreigners and they hate dealing with North Dakota Americans. So a little bit of gossip there. And he's taking courses at NDSU, and we talked about religion. I swear to God, you know, if I were straight and we had another, if I were gay and we had another half an hour, we'd probably end up married. I don't know. But really cool guy named Mark, if you happen to be in Fargo. And the last thing I want to mention about the whole trip is that the movie, the famous movie with Frances McDormand and Peter Stormare and William H. Macy, was mostly shot in next door Minnesota. I know it's kind of disappointing, but I did discover that some of the exteriors and some was shot in Fargo, and the woman who worked next door to that bicycle silk screening thing shop was in the movie and played the mother, or excuse me, the wife who got shot. So, okay, like a next door brush with greatness. That's about as good as I can get in my life, and kind of good. Oh, I did want to mention real quick the wonderful plane ride. Everybody might remember me telling about my trip to Aruba a couple of years ago, where we ended up spending an extra day and a half in Aruba thanks to plane trouble. Well, here we didn't have plane trouble, we had airport trouble. Probably my mistake for booking in the middle of February a trip to Fargo, North Dakota that goes through O'Hare Airport. Yeah, I should know better than this, because, of course, we ended up missing a connecting flight, spending the night in lovely Camp O'Hare with no pillows, no blankets, no cots, no nothing, just waiting with no help and no nothing. But okay, a lot of people have to do it. It happens, and it was weather-related. But then what that meant was the very next morning we had to be on the first plane out, flying into LaGuardia on the day of the big, horrible winds. Now, it was warmish weather, but the winds were kicking up like crazy. So we're coming in, and the flight is quiet and great and fine just until we hit New Jersey. And then the plane's like, bummity, 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 for like half an hour. We get to LaGuardia, you know, where it's not very pleasant, and we get to the runway. The wheels are down, and about maybe 20 feet above the runway, the pilot just takes the plane right up and whoosh, and he says, well, we had a gust of wind there. We're going to try this again, which means trying again is not a simple thing. You've got to go all the way back around another 20 minutes in the wind, bumpity, 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 to try again to land safely, which we did, but not before we had a few nauseous moments. There was a smell coming from the back of the plane that I was worse than puke, I'll tell you that. You know, literally, the stewardesses were waving their hands in front of their heads. But it was a safe landing, thank God. And much as I want to bitch about United Airlines and, you know, the incompetence of getting us to New York, within a day, we heard about the Buffalo plane crash in the same weather. And well, they had icing, but certainly some of the same related reasons. So, again, it's all perspective, depending on how you look at things. It can be a gray day, or it can be a promising spring day. It can be a real pain in the ass to get to New York and deal with airplanes and turbulence, or it can be a safe landing that gets you back home. I guess, if I were a different kind of person and a better person, I would think of these things in the latter way. Well, I'm trying. Anyway, I'm going to be trying to move forward with the rest of Dave's Gone By, including Inside Broadway and more talk about the stimulus package. We'll be right back after these messages. Shalom, damn it! This is Rabbi Sol Solomon asking you, what are the two most beautiful words in the English language? That's right, kosher deli! Actually, kosher isn't English per se, and delicatessens from the German, but screw that! Kosher deli, pastrami, corned beef, roast beef, tongue, brisket. If you have a good kosher deli, you're set. Well, I have a great kosher deli, the Woodrow, in the Peninsula Shopping Center of Hewlett, Long Island. Open 7 days, even Shabbos.
everything freshly made in the store, available for catering and private parties, The Woodrow. 516-791-4033. 791-4033. The Woodrow. Words cannot express.
Hello, my name is Eustace Roosevelt, and I'll be here to talk about the economics. Now, everybody knows things is bad. Can't get no work, can't pay for no gas, can't even afford a good hooker and a bowl on Saturday night. Now, what we gonna do about this here? Sure enough, we can close our eyes and make believe the problems go away. But when you open them eyes again, you'll find the trouble still there. And a great big bump on your head because you'll be walking around with your eyes closed. So, no. You can't just ignore the wolf at the door. When the going gets tough, the goers got to get tougher. That's why we got Barack Obama in the White House now. He one of us. He don't talk like one of us. He don't live like one of us. And he only half look like one of us, but he one of us. And Barack's is up there trying to do something about the mess the previous president put us in. He's setting aside all this tax monies to help regrow the economy. It's a stimulation package. He take billions and gabillions of dollars and throw it up in the air. And where it land, help America get it back on its feet again. If we're lucky, it create new jobs, it save the car companies, it keep your money from falling out the bank. If we not lucky, it go nowhere and we in the toilet. But we in the toilet now, so what the hell, right? But all my friends is asking, how come we rewarding people for doing a crappy job? Chevy build cars get 3 miles to the gallon and they don't know why people don't buy Chevrolet. Well, with my people, it's cause we saving for a caddy. A bank let some dickhead buy a house with no money down and an interest rate hitting 12% after 3 years. You know how much crack you gotta sell to make a payment on that? Wall Street broker looking a crystal ball. He say, I think I buy 1,000 shares of garbage today. The more I buy, the less it smell like garbage. Why, I can turn that garbage from a little trash pile to a landfill. Don't even look like garbage no more. Unless you get real close to it and your nose give it away. Who knew the SEC would start sniffing? Now, these are the peoples we be giving money to, which I realize makes no sense. But nothing make no sense in this world. Women go out to work, make $7 an hour, daycare costs 10. How they make up the other $2? We live in a world where Prince is a sex symbol and Tyler Perry is a movie star. What the hell is that about? And there's 6,000 channels on the TV, and they still don't bring back Hanging with Mr. Cooper. So I ask you, my American fellows, to support President Obama and his big package. Just because all that money coming out of your income tax, and you ain't going to see a dime of it, that don't mean it ain't no good for you. It's like eating your spinach, your really expensive spinach. So eat your vegetables and support President Obama's stimulating package. The rich get richer, the poor just get more poor, but America goes on. I'm Eustace Roosevelt, and I support this massage.
Give the gift of entertainment to yourself or others by sharing a Dave's Gone By CD. From Reckless Eric to Joe Franklin, Christine Lavin to Uncle Floyd, Dave's Gone By CDs provide hours of laughs, great conversation, and music. CDs are just $10, shipping included, and you can order at our website, davesgoneby.org. Reserve your corner of the Daverhood. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com. Yes, welcome to Inside Broadway here on this February 15th, 2009. Got a whole bunch of Broadway news. Also want to talk about a couple of off-Broadway and Broadway shows that I saw this week. First of all, got to remind you, as we said in the beginning of the program, some of the cool off-Broadway news is that StageBuddy.com's Weekly Night Live plays every Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the Times Square Arts Center, 669 8th Avenue, between 42nd and 43rd Street. I'm the host of the show. Yay, me!
And it's a mix of comedians and magicians and musicians and Broadway people. You got to check it out, and it's absolutely free. So go to stagebuddy.com/live for more information. Now, as far as some of the other things, the lesser things playing in New York, well, Shakespeare in the Park, the public theater, has announced its upcoming summer season, and it's going to feature Twelfth Night, the William Shakespeare play, of course, starring Anne Hathaway, the lovely actress of The Princess Diaries and Rachel Getting Married. I think she's an Oscar nominee for that, I'm not sure. So she'll be playing Viola, and Dan Sullivan's going to direct that. That's going to be, speaking of free shows, remember, all the Shakespeare in Central Park is free, and that starts in June. And that will be followed by a production of the Bacchae, Euripides' drama, directed by Joanne Acaligas. And she's actually a former artistic director of the public theater. So she'll be doing that through August and September. We've got a Broadway show, a Broadway musical, actually opening this week, Thursday, at the Booth Theater. It's by a couple of newcomers to Broadway, Brian Hill and Neil Bartram. And it's a small little musical. That's why people are kind of hoping it'll be real good and get the audience, because it's not a big splashy thing. There's only two actors in it, and they're Will Chase and Malcolm Getz. People might remember Malcolm Getz from Caroline in the City. He was the blonde boyfriend, and he's also done a lot of theater locally. So this is a show that premiered at Connecticut's Goodspeed Second Stage, and it's coming to Broadway now. The one cool thing is that the director is Richard Maltby Jr., who helped create Ain't Misbehavin'. So you never know. It could be one of the sleepers of the year. It's called The Story of My Life at the Booth Theater, opening this week. And kind of a cute thing. There's a couple of interesting off-Broadway things. A little early for Purim, but there's a show called The History of Queen Esther, of King Ahasuerus, and of the Haughty Haman. That's the whole title, folks. Put on by the Czechoslovak American Marionette Theater at the West Side Y. I will not repeat that again. You can probably go find it if you're interested. It opens next Sunday, but, I don't know, Czechoslovak puppets doing the Purim story. Got to be some interest there. And from a totally different ethnic perspective, Soul Samurai. It's a something by the Ma Yi Theater in tandem with Vampire Cowboys Theater Company at here. This sounds like a lot of fun. It's a mix of hip-hop, blaxploitation, and martial arts in the story of a young girl making her way through the Lower East Side and obviously getting beat up or beating other people up in a blaxploitational karate kind of a way. Yeah, Soul Samurai. It opens this Thursday. And finally, opening on Wednesday at the Classical Theater of Harlem, they're doing Chekhov's Three Sisters, and it's a pretty amazing cast. It features Roger Guinevere Smith, who gave one of the greatest performances I have ever seen. It was an off-Broadway show about Huey P. Newton, a one-man show, and he played Huey and was just riveting. So he's going to be in this Three Sisters along with Earl Hyman and Sabrina LaBeouf, both of whom you may remember from The Cosby Show, and that's opening on Wednesday at Harlem Stage. Okay, just have time to talk about a couple of shows to review. I'll probably skip one or two and do them another time, but first, gotta do this little commercial. Broadway theater has never been grander or more expensive. So, like any big purchase, you gotta do homework. You want to pick the best show or the most family-appropriate, the best reviewed, or with the biggest stars or most interesting design. Everyone has different criteria. Performing Arts Insider answers them all. For decades, the Bible of Broadway that professionals check for every show on every New York stage. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com and see DavesGoneBy.org for a 30% subscriber discount. Now go, do your homework. Welcome back to Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By. I'm going to skip a couple of the shows just because I don't have time to mention them. But I do want to say, because you only have another week or two to see Speed the Plow on Broadway. Now, I saw it along with a lot of the other people and critics when it first opened with Jeremy Piven playing this new this Hollywood studio executive. He's just become chief of production, and he's about to greenlight a film that his friend put together with a really hotshot director. They're just about to go into a meeting with the head of the studio when a little monkey wrench gets thrown into their plans when their cute secretary comes by and decides she is really interested in seeing a book that she's read make into a film instead of the film that those guys are trying to do. And it becomes a real exciting and funny power play. Well, Jeremy Piven starred, as I said, in the production, but as we've all heard and read in the papers, he either got terribly sick from mercury poisoning, or he was just a lazy, bored TV son of a bitch who wasn't really committing to Broadway, and he jumped out of the play with really no notice, and they went casting about for someone else, and they got William H. Macy, marvelous actor, and he's even more ripe for the role than Piven was. Piven was actually very, very good, but Macy's a little older, and he has a certain bearing about him where he makes the play that isn't quite believable just a little more believable. We can just kind of understand that this man would perhaps throw his career away and throw away everything he's been building towards for 20 years for something a little different and a little more, to him, moral and a little more humane and more for the people than just churning out the same Hollywood garbage that he himself calls himself a whore for churning out. So he's quite good, and he has as much chemistry with the great Raul Esparza as Piven did, and Esparza is really the spark plug of the whole play. When he's on stage, good as the other actors are, the play kind of, when Esparza, excuse me, is off stage, the play deflates a bit. It just naturally does. It needs that character, and it needs the magic of Raul Esparza there to really keep the thing going. But I totally recommend it. There's three scenes in the short show. It's about 90 minutes long. The first scene is a knockout. The third scene is a knockout. The middle still does not work, even though Elizabeth Moss is really in there trying. She's the girl from Mad Men. It just doesn't work as written. But if you can get beyond that, you're really going to have a great time at Speed the Plow. Well, we've got to speed along with towards the end of this episode of Dave's Gone By. We'll be back right after this message and the end of Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
Oh, honey, make sweet love to me.
Huh?
Can't you put down that stupid book?
In a minute, dear.
You said that 20 minutes ago. What's so special about marriage, babies, and the end of the world?
Well, it's a collection of plays by radio host Dave Lefkowitz.
Why do you want to read a bunch of plays?
Because they're hilarious.
How'd you even buy that book?
Online at davesgoneby.org. $20. And they've got trade paperbacks for $12.
You would rather read Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World than ride me like a hot stallion?
Well, maybe we can compromise. Wow, I love this book! Oh, and you too, hon.
Well, hello, Aru. This is Peter Fitzgerald, Vice President of Wigglefar, the Woodmere Gay Lesbian Front and Rear, and I'm here to speak to you on behalf of Barack Obama's package. Tee-hee. You know that big old bill Obama wants to stimulate the economy? Let me tell you, that tall drink of chocolate milk can stimulate my economy anytime. Wiggle! But these are troubled times, and people need to know the economy isn't going to wilt like a willy after a party at my house. In the old days, all my friends spent their time worrying about getting laid. Now they're worried about getting laid off, but either way, they're flat on their backs. Or, considering the current situation, getting stooped in the butt. So now our cute little president erect has all these ideas for getting the economy moving again. It goes like this. The banks are afraid to loan us money. So, we loan the banks money. Free. Not even a loan, a giftie. Now, the banks can loan us money with interest. Doesn't that make sense? And it's a lesson to our children. Well, if, unlike me, you're allowed to be near children, this is a lesson that says to get rich quick and dirty, you don't have to rob a bank. You just have to own one. Now, being a gay man with disposable income, the recession doesn't affect me quite so much as it might affect you. Oh, sure, I might scrimp on table settings, and I've switched from flavored lubes back to good old reliable KY, and maybe I'll put a Shirley Bassey record or two up on eBay. But whatever else I may be. I'm an American, and I don't want to see other Americans out of work, their stores closing, their houses taken away, because that's when people get mean, they turn irrational, and they start blaming the wrong people, the weak and the downtrodden. They say, there are no jobs because we have too many illegal immigrants. Right, like you'd pick oranges for $3 an hour. They say, there's no money because black people are on welfare. No, black people are on welfare because there's no money. They say America is faltering because God is angry at us, because we have allowed open homosexuality. I say, at least we pay the mortgages on our condos, and when we take a cruise or a junket, we pay the bill and leave a tip for the sweet little first mate with the tight buns and the six-pack. So let us all get behind Barack Obama and make sure his stimulus package stays way up. I'm Peter Fitzgerald, and I approve of this massage.
Shalom, damn it, shalom, damn it, that's the name of my TV show. Twice a week on Cablevision, here is what you need to know. See the one and only Rabbi Saul Solomon on TV. Wednesday mornings at 8 on Channel 115, Friday mornings at 4:30 on Channel 20, in New York City 1:30 Sunday afternoons on Channel 67, or watch every show anytime on YouTube. See all the info at shalomdammit.com. I read the Torah, I tell stories, shake my fist and complain a bit. Cablevision, MN and YouTube, watch me on Shalom Damn It, Damn It.
Dave's gone by.
Yes, there goes the neighborhood. It goes so quick, but so well, I think. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank our sponsors for Dave's Gone By, Woodrow Delicatessen in the Peninsula Shopping Center in Hewlett, Long Island. Also, Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, with 10% off for all Dave's Gone By listeners. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine since 1944. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more information. And please visit togletheater.com for thousands of theater reviews and information and feature stories. It's also the gateway to the Dave's Gone By archives, or you can get there through davesgoneby.org, where you can hear about 200 episodes of the show absolutely free anytime at all. Okay, I want to also remind you to listen or watch Shalom Damn It on YouTube. That's Rabbi Saul Solomon's show, and you can see it on Long Island Cablevision Wednesdays at 8 in the morning on Channel 115, and Fridays at 4:30 in the morning on Channel 20. It's also on MNN, but don't worry about that. Just go to YouTube and watch it there. I'll just have another minute or two, but I do want to wish a couple of farewells to people. We talked about Edmund at Stage Buddy. He's going off. I want to say that I miss Jeff Goodman, my usual guest co-host here. He'll be gone in Thailand, and I hope he has a wonderful trip. And also want to say bye to someone who's been an on-and-off friend of the program for the last few years, Joe Salzone. He used to work at WGBB and also the station across the hall, NYG, and he's been at Sirius for a couple of years, but he's getting serious and moving away from this region off to Texas sometime this week. You actually heard his voice in one of the commercials we did today. So farewell, Joe Salzone, and all the best to you. And I want to thank a couple of people, certainly James Hodge, who runs the gospel show that's coming up right after this program in just a couple of minutes. And then I want to thank my mom and dad for always being there for me, my beloved and wonderful wife who warmed up North Dakota considerably for me, as she always does with the rest of my life. Well, I want to tell you that we'll be back next week, probably. Still trying to figure out the show we're going to do next week, but pretty sure that we will be here and doing it with another great Dave's Gone By for you. So, time to leave the neighborhood. Oh, and I want to thank Jessica for calling in, and she did listen to the end. The light is still blinking. So, Jessica, you are number three fan. Yay! Wait, I'm going to... Jessica, are you there? Gonna put you on there for a moment. Yay! How do you feel being number three fan?
Woo! Totally excited.
Yeah. Well, it's time to leave the neighborhood, but I'll be back soon for the 305th episode of the show. Don't miss your days going by until then. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you a good night. Happy President's Day. May all your stimuli be packaged. And here's a little song from Lyle Lovett as we say, in a Fargo way,
Gone By.